Still on the road as I record this in Tampa, where I used to live. On this week's podcast, I talk about revelations concerning my libido, reflections on my monogamous past, and yes, potentially another parenting partner. It's my unconventional life. Desperado. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So I got into thinking about sex this week. That'll happen when you're not actually doing it. It occurred to me that love is a big factor in my libido. As in, I'm turned on as much by a girl telling me she loves me as showing me her boobs. As long as she's being honest. And I guess I always knew this was part of it, but I think before it was why I always felt I was monogamous, because casual sex didn't have this love component. And so I felt, to some extent, torn between these two polar opposites, sex without exclusivity and love, or monogamous sex with love. And if I'm honest, neither seemed to fit, but I was way closer to the feelings of monogamy, so I assumed that was who I truly was. Yet now I see that isn't the case. There is another option. In fact, there are many options. Relationships, like sexuality, aren't hard and fast categories, nor should they be. They're sliding scales, shades of grey perhaps, and as evolved human beings, we should be able to negotiate them honestly and openly. Put simply, if you're honest with people, there are no wrong ways to love. And so I also realized this week that the reason I can be non-monogamous is the example of love my parents showed me. Not for each other, of course, but for me. You see, they loved me unconditionally. It didn't matter who else I loved, or even really if I loved them. And I've tried to follow their example of love that they had for each other, and it hasn't really worked out. But in following the example they showed me, I seem to be perfectly happy and content indefinitely. I know people always say yes, but love is different when sex is involved. But is it? Or is it something else that we are calling love that comes hand in hand with sexual relationships that, let's be honest, don't even need to contain love to exist? The question we have is whether to take our signs for love from the love our parents show us as children or each other as adults. I guess you can see why as adults we choose the latter. And so I visited Tampa again this week and stopped for a coffee right by where my ex-girlfriend used to live. Purely by chance. And of course, it made me think of her, and I felt again that warm feeling in my chest, the only suitable word for describing of which is love. It's been well over 3 years since we split up, and I still feel it in my chest. But it didn't make me second guess my decision to split up, but because I still love her, it means I should be with only her. I was actually seeing her many months after we split up, knowing she'd been with somebody else and not feeling any differently toward her, that made me think perhaps I really was polyamorous. And so, it's also been well over 3 years since I was in a monogamous relationship. And I remember the feeling, and it does feel different. There's a sense of excitement, perhaps, that comes with the knowledge that only you get to see and touch her this way, like having a toy as a kid. Now, I've tried not to compare monogamy and non-monogamy on this podcast, although, strictly speaking, we're talking about monoamory and polyamory. Monogamy and polygamy concern marriage. Monoamory and polyamory concern love. But to be honest, it's not really even that that people have an issue with. Because I think most everyone accepts that you can love two people at the same time. The issue, showing just how sex-obsessed we are, comes down to the physical act of sex. Can you be sexually intimate with two people at the same time when it's attached to deep, caring emotions? So again, I think here labels fail us. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't matter to me whether you're monogamous or not. What matters is that you're genuine. And it's an agreement discussed, not just assumed, out of obligation. And just because I haven't been in a monogamous relationship since doesn't mean it didn't have any value in my relationships before. When I look back on my life now, I just feel blessed for all my relationships, monogamous or otherwise. Just blessed that someone loved me. I've been texting with Eri more while I've been away. She seems pretty keen to move forward. And I don't know, I seem to have a good feeling about it. I did get a message from another of the girls on the Modamily website, but she seems a little uncertain about the whole thing. Nonetheless, still worth having a conversation at least. As I said to a friend recently, there should be no issue with exploring every avenue to find the very best parenting partner, whether it's me or any of the potential parenting partners that I meet. This week's interview is with Tish, one of my oldest friends in wrestling. We originally became friends on my trips back to the UK, first cutting my teeth as a wrestler, when our worldviews about monogamy were pretty much the same. Our lives since have gone in very different directions, and on the surface, it seems so have our worldviews. But as you'll hear from the interview, when you get down to the core, we still share the exact same sense of morality. It is somewhat of a grey, overcast day here in, close to Liverpool. Where are we exactly?
We're in Neston, Nigel.
Neston, Nigel. Nesting Nigel. That sounds like me. Hopefully I will be nesting soon. But I'm here with one of my dearest, beloved friends, Tish. How are you, my dear?
I'm very good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, listen, I've been doing this podcast for about half a year now, and you haven't actually listened to any yet.
No,
no.
I haven't, no. But I'm a dinosaur, an idol.
But your significant other has, and just texted you to say, maybe you should have listened to a few before you agreed to being on the podcast.
Yeah, he finds it quite amusing that I'm doing this now, and yet that's what he's just texted. Maybe I should have listened to it, and the fact that our opinions are probably going to be worlds apart.
Which is, I think, why this will be perhaps one of my favourite interviews ever. Because I've had a lot of people on here who see the world the same way that I do, and that's great, and it's reassuring. But sometimes it's nice to get people with different viewpoints. And the best thing about you is you've known me for how long has it been now?
Far, far too long. Too long. Don't give away any ages here.
It's been a long time since I started wrestling. Mm. And so you've seen my worldviews change somewhat. Now, let me give you a brief rundown of where I stand right now. The basic premise, the two tenets that I'm kind of living by are that, number one, I believe that monogamy should be an option as opposed to an expectation. I'm not anti-monogamy at all, but I think it should be the exception rather than the norm. If you find someone and you both meet and you match in every way, shape and form, and you both feel like, yeah, we don't want to see anybody else, absolutely hats off to you, good luck to you. But I think to find someone that you feel that way about is very, very difficult in today's world. Therefore, it should be the exception. And the other thing is, I want to have kids, and I want to have kids outside of a traditional romantic relationship, because I believe, for me, and perhaps for a lot of people in the world, a parenting relationship is difficult to make successful alongside a romantic relationship, and sometimes they can pull you in separate directions. So I'm looking for a parenting partner, a platonic friend who I will love dearly and perhaps even live with, to have a child with in a platonic relationship. This is how I view the world now, but it's very different than the Nigel McGuinness that you first met all those years ago. What was your first impression of me?
Yeah, that we were very, very similar creatures in our opinions and our morals and standards. But I'm thinking that you are probably viewing this now just because of your life experiences.
Right. A lot of people say yes. Well, of course, because you've had relationships end badly and you've been heartbroken. So you're doing this out of fear. You're scared of hurting someone else or getting hurt again. So you're trying to avoid that. I don't see it that way at all.
No, I don't think that that's the reason you're doing it. I just think that maybe you started off as the person you were and life has changed you. And I'm not saying that you're not happy with it, the things that you're going to be doing now. But if things had worked out differently from very early on, that was the person you were, and it's other people that have disappointed you and let you down, which is why you're onto this road that you're onto now.
See, I don't see it as people letting me down. I see it as me understanding human nature and understanding the world and going, I'm only 50% of the equation. Now, I have plenty of examples of traditional monogamous relationships that I think this is great. I think this will work for the rest of their lives. But I think for the majority of human beings in the world that we live today, and I include myself in that category, I just don't think it really works. It's not feasible for me. And this is the happiest I've ever been in my life. Now, you said earlier when I said that, but there's something sad about that. You said you felt as though I was missing out on something by not aspiring for this traditional monogamous ideal. Why do you think so?
Yeah, because it's a more sincere love, isn't it? Like, of course you're happy because there's girls, you know, you've got lots of different girls, and yeah, it's every man's, you know, dream in inverted commas. But is it not?
Well, see, here's the thing. First of all, I don't have lots and lots of girls, at least not lots and lots of girls that I'm in a sexual relationship with. There are lots and lots of girls that I'm friends with, some of whom I might make out with, a very few number of whom I may actually sleep with as well, but they're all over the world and I may never see them for a year or 2 years or however long it is. I see the world as full of millions of people who I want to be friends with and have deep, intimate, meaningful relationships with. Some of them I want to get naked with, you know, and some of them I don't. But I don't know why people need to separate the world into those two different categories, people I want to get naked with and people I don't, because it's all a sliding scale. I look at relationships in the same way as sexuality. People like to say, okay, you're either straight or you're gay. And we all know it's a shade of grey,
yeah,
you know, and to try and put people into categories, I think there's a danger in that. And I think there's that same danger exists in terms of relationships. Being told, as we always are, you've really only got two options. You either have casual, meaningless sex. And when I talk to people about being non-monogamous, that's what they think it means. Mm. They think that it means that I want to just have sex with loads of girls, which isn't true at all. I just don't think that having sex with one girl in a deep and meaningful relationship should necessarily negate the opportunity of doing that with somebody else.
Yeah, I get that. But I think that you got more of my morals and standards for a longer part of your life.
See, here's the thing, though. When you say morals, this is what I always got a hold on for when I was younger. I felt like, well, if you have sex with loads of people, then you don't have high morals. Because this is what we're told in a Judeo-Christian society, certainly in England. We're kind of taught that lots of sex with lots of people is a bad thing. And I don't think it is. There's nothing immoral about it at all. If you're married and you cheat on someone, that's immoral because you've made an agreement and you're breaking that agreement with someone that you love. I get that 100%. But if you've not made that agreement, if in actual fact you've made an agreement to be free to see whoever you want, there's no immorality involved at all, I don't think.
No, you're right. And some of the people I know, as you know probably from our business, when you meet a lovely wife and then you meet a lovely girlfriend of the same person, and that really grates on me because I think, why not be like you're being now?
Well, here's the reason why not. Because that wife and that girlfriend wouldn't be with that guy if they knew the reality of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're going out there and you're saying, well, this is how I am. And that's being straight. And there's nothing I love more than somebody who's just straight. And
right.
You know, this is me. Accept me or don't.
But you can understand why guys learn time and time again that if you are honest that way about girls, then they will reject you.
Yeah, well, don't get married.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's not even about getting married. It's about, like,
don't,
you know,
be in that relationship. What you want to be.
Most girls won't even, like, be intimate with you. Here's the thing. Ultimately, guys believe they have two choices. Either one, be honest about who you are and what you want, and most girls will reject you, and you'll never have that loving girl who will take care of you, or you have to lie about it because that's the only way you can get what you want. Now, the second way is selfish, absolutely, and I don't agree with it 100%, but you can understand why guys are that way. Because it's the same notion of, oh, you know, girls love a villain. Girls love a bad un, don't they, you know? They know that these guys are never going to be the guys that they want, but they come back time and time again. And I'm seeing it almost to a much smaller extent with me now. Because, yes, I'm open, and yes, I'll tell anybody how I feel, but I'm mature enough and evolved enough to know that I can't tell you how I'll feel in 6 months' time. And that, to me, is a difficulty of me saying, yes, I want to get married to you, because who knows how I will feel? All I know is that I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you how I feel, and if that changes, I'll tell you that as well. But that's not easy. That's not easy to do at all.
Nobody ever said that marriage is easy. It's a work in process, isn't it? It's something that you have to work on every day of your life.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when you have other priorities in your life in terms of running a business, in terms of a regular job, in terms of having kids. Mm-hmm. Now, you have two wonderful kids.
I do.
And
yes,
they are amazing, and I am totally jealous, of course. But how has that affected a traditional romantic relationship?
Well, every parent will tell you that, of course, it does affect it, because real life just gets in the way of romance. You know, there's kids to run around, there's kids to take to school. You're tired. You put the kids to bed at nighttime and you feel exhausted. Mm-hmm. You know, so the time you climb into bed, sometimes all you do want to do is go to sleep. And, you know, of course, it's not ideal, but it just is life.
It is life. And you just got to accept that. Yeah. If that's the agreement that you've made. Yeah. I think a lot of people, though, get into making that agreement without really understanding and realizing the reality of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm sure there's millions of marriages that fail because of that exact thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard work. And, you know, when you fall in love with someone and you get married, you don't ever think that anything, you could love anything more than that person. And then you have children. And that's just, it is a completely unconditional, different kind of love.
Right.
And nothing can, you know, nothing tops it. And it's bad to say that, but it is nothing. I love Dean totally different than I love Joseph and Lexi.
Yeah.
I mean, Dean can hurt me and it can change the way I feel about him. Joseph and Lexi could hurt me and I will feel exactly the same about them.
Right. Well, it's an interesting idea, because oftentimes when people say to me, I could never be non-monogamous because I'm too jealous, or, you know, I can't sort of share my love for someone. But when it comes to children, you absolutely share your love for someone. When you have your first child, you think, I can never love someone as much as this person. And then when you have a second child, you realize, well, actually, I can. And you don't have a limited amount of love. Like if you had another child, you'd love them just as much.
Absolutely.
And I see the world in the same way. That if I have a sexually intimate partner and I love them this much, and then I have another one, I don't see as though I'm loving the first one less by loving the other one more.
But I think if you get to the stage in your life where you have that child either in a marriage or a relationship or not, then you will feel differently about the person that you've had the child with.
Sure.
Because, you know, that will then be the mother of your child, and that's going to be an unbreakable bond.
100%. Yeah, no question about that at all. But the question becomes, does that bond have to be exclusive?
For me, yes.
Right. Why do you think that is? Because largely when you were growing up, you spent a lot of time with your grandparents. Is that right?
Yeah. My granddad had a lot to do with my upbringing. I guess for me, it's maybe been around the wrestling business all my life, which is now why I don't want to go down the road, which I've seen a lot of people go down.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's got to be that way. That's just the person I am. I've always been an old-headed person. I've always, you know, I know what I want and how I want things to be.
Yeah.
And it disappoints me daily, you know, when I see people and I care for those people and then I care for their wives or girlfriends and then I just think, why would you do that? But, you know, it's just different, isn't it? We're all different. I'm not saying that they're wrong in the aspect of when you're married, I think you're married and that's it. If they want to live a life that you're talking about, then you're totally different because you're open about it.
Right.
You know, you're not married to somebody and then cheating on them.
Right. But do you think I'm missing out on something?
I think you're missing out on something that's just more depth. I mean, you've been married yourself, Nigel, so you've felt that bond and, you know, and it's supposed to be unbreakable, isn't it? And it's supposed to age, you know, sure. with the time of the marriage, it's supposed to change and get better.
You see, supposed to. Who tells us these things? Where do we get these notions of what marriage is supposed to be?
When everybody meets someone for the first time, it's all fantastic, isn't it? And, you know, you can't get enough of each other. And that does wear off.
Right.
But does it not change into something better, something deeper?
It can do. And I'll be honest with you. I know couples in America who got to a stage where the sex ended.
Mm.
And the girl, or sometimes the guy, but mostly the girl, largely is physically repulsed by the idea of being sexual with the guy. And when that happens, what do? They still love each other deeply. They have children. They're happy in every other way, except for the fact that on that level, it's just a zero. And perhaps that's something about biology. Perhaps once women's had kids, then they've got no biological need, so their hormones change. You could certainly make an argument for that. But is it then fair for the guy to spend the rest of his life essentially celibate without any kind of sexual contact whatsoever? That's a difficult argument to make
That is a difficult argument, because I think one of the best parts of the marriage is that intimacy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame if people have lost that, because that's surely, in a busy lifestyle, one of the ways to feel loved and to show love back.
Absolutely. We need human touch. We need physical affection. And I think actually, as a single man, that's what's so difficult for me, is to get that human connection without having to mean absolutely everything. I've got friends who I call FWOBs, which are friends without benefits. When basically these are girls, for whatever reason, I'm just platonic friends with. You know, maybe they're in a relationship already. Maybe they were dating my friends, so I could never be that way with them, or whatever it was. And we'll hang out. And like, if you saw us out together, you'd think we were dating. Like, I'd put my arm around them, I'd rub their shoulders and their hands, or, you know, we'd watch a movie together and cuddle, and we'd get that sense of closeness that you get in a traditional relationship without any of the sort of, you know, need for condoms. But I'm just saying, I look at the world and I think, as human beings, we have certain needs. We have a need to connect with people. And to your point about that deep, meaningful connection from a marriage, I'll be honest, I don't think that sexual exclusivity has a monopoly on it. I really don't. Because when I look at my relationships that I've been in my life, the number of non-exclusive relationships that I've had in between, you know, periods of long monogamy, as you've known me, have been deeply intimate. And I'm still close to these girls. And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably more likely to be open and therefore intimate with these girls, because intimacy isn't about getting naked and putting your bits together. Mm. Intimacy is about being open and saying, this is who I am genuinely. Even though I know this might hurt you, I have to be honest about who I am. And I feel like I can do that in a non-exclusive relationship in a way that perhaps I can't in an exclusive relationship. And I'm not talking about being out at a bar or a restaurant with a girl and seeing another girl and go, oh, look at the tits of that. You know, I understand that's disrespectful.
I know what you're saying, but you're sure it's not just because you haven't met that right girl yet?
100%, because, you know, I've met wonderful girls. My ex-girlfriend, you couldn't fault her at all. I mean, she's beautiful and she's got her stuff together and she's loving and devoted. She would never even think of cheating on me. Not even, it's about that.
But it doesn't have to be that she was a perfect girl. Maybe she just wasn't the perfect girl for you.
Well, I mean, there is a question then, you know, if that's the case, what happens if you don't meet that perfect girl?
Yeah, well, you said you haven't been looking for 3 years, so, you know, it might happen to you, and maybe in 10 years' time we'll be having a conversation and you may.
And this is the reality, absolutely. I'm open to anything. Yeah. I'm not ruling out anything whatsoever. And this is why when I meet girls and I, you know, might know them and even be intimate with them, unless they ask or it comes up naturally in conversation, I don't go, oh, by the way, just so you know, I'm non-monogamous, I'm polyamorous, I will be sleeping with these girls and this girl and this girl. Because you don't know how anybody can make you change. And I'll be honest with you, 10 years ago, I never would have contemplated having a non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah, but I think it's relationships that have made you change. Made you change your opinions on life and what now. I mean, you've turned something that's so been negative into your life into something so positive, which is an amazing achievement.
So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing, but don't rule out that there may still be something there that you would could, you know, change your opinion again and give sure. you the fulfillment of a happy marriage and bringing children into a marriage.
Well, listen, like I said, I'm not ruling out anything. I'm completely open. I'm completely present. I no longer identify with the past. I no longer worry about the future. I take every situation on its own merit. And I'm very, very happy like that, I'll be perfectly honest, you know.
Now, yeah, well, it's probably the happiest I've seen you and the less worried I've seen you.
Right? I mean, how much was I always worried about this or that or complaining, oh, God,
I remember you saying to me, Matt, that your dad had got you a book about worrying and you felt fantastic and motivated reading it. And then when you finished, you started to worry and I said, well, read it again.
Yeah, actually, that's right. It's How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. It's a great book. I've also read another book called The Power of Now. A number of books I've read over the last 5 to 10 years have had a profound effect on me. Also, mindfulness meditation, which is, like I said, just concentrating on this present moment. That's helped out a great deal. And, you know, you can't knock this latest gig that I've got, and that helps a great deal, so you're not worrying about money quite so much. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, I truly do believe everything you need to be happy you have right now. And this sort of notion that we get in the West that we have to have these things, whether it's physical things like a car or a house or ambition, like, oh, I have to wrestle for WWE or whatever it is, we're putting it out there and we're never present and enjoying the present time. And I think that's a huge issue with Western society. But let me ask you this then. As I said, you know, you have two kids now and you have a wonderful life as a parent. If I was to get into a platonic relationship with a girl and have kids with her, what do you think are the issues? What do you think that perhaps would be negative in terms of raising children that way? If we live together, we're affectionate. So, because you know me, I'm a huggy guy. Yeah. I'd hug her, I'd kiss her, you know. We just wouldn't be, you know, practicing making babies anymore, you know.
Yeah.
What would be the harm of that? What would be the negative to the kids?
I can't see it being harm because, of course, we live in a society where men and, you know, two women can raise a child together. Mm. And I think as long as that child is getting the love and the security of two people, you know, loving them, it doesn't matter whether they're both male, whether they're both female. It is more like a learning for the children. If they are watching you and you're happy with your partner and showing love to the partner, you know, they pick up on that.
Mm.
I think I have two very outgoing, confident children, and put that purely down to how they see, you know, our family.
Right.
Totally. If we were in a relationship where we were always arguing or fighting, of course it's going to affect the children.
Right.
So, you know, if they don't see that, I think definitely it does have a knock-on effect. So if right. you're saying, is there any negativity towards that, then I'd say no. Only I think that you are probably missing something deeper.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I would have an amazingly deep relationship with the mother of my children, and that just having sex with her wouldn't necessarily change that. You know, unless we perhaps were in an open relationship, and that's another discussion to have. I haven't ruled that out either.
You would have an open relationship and children?
Potentially, yes. Say it. Say it. Say it.
I don't know. I'm old-fashioned, aren't I? So it's just, I just think when you get married, if somebody hurts you, you can pick yourself up and get on with life.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always said to Dean, if you hurt me now at this stage of our life, having brought two children into the world, it's not my heart now. Mm. There's three hearts involved.
Right.
And I think then you owe something of yourself to those kids.
Absolutely, 100%. But if you get into a traditional monogamous marriage, then yes. By being intimate with somebody else, you are affecting the agreement that you've previously made. Yeah. But if you don't make that agreement, if you have an agreement to be open and see other people, then strictly speaking, there should be no reason to hurt each other. Because I know people who have children who have open marriages. And they even, the kids know the boyfriends and or girlfriends of their parents. I mean, because it's not that different, really, if you think of traditional marriages that end in divorce and then they still raise the kids together but independently and each have their own separate boyfriends, girlfriends. Kids kind of deal with that perfectly okay. And when I say deal with that, they deal with it because they had this idea of a monogamous idea, which didn't work out, and now they have to change their viewpoint. If they never had that traditional notion of a monogamous ideal, and all they ever knew was that their parents, you know, their mum has a boyfriend and their dad has a girlfriend, that's all they ever knew, but everyone was loving and got on well, I don't see why there's any damage at all. In actual fact, I think that kids understand non-monogamy way better.
Absolutely, yeah, right. You're totally right. Just in the friendships that they make grown up through life, you know, if that's how they started off, then yeah, they're not going to be damaged. It's when they are, like, in a family with a marriage, then that does split up. That's when they're damaged.
Right.
So, yeah, if they start off, as you're saying, and, you know, mums and dads see other boyfriends and girlfriends, and yeah, that's what they're used to.
Right.
So they don't know anything different.
It's funny. One of the first girls that I interviewed for the podcast, she was involved in a church originally, and she had kids. And there was one day where one of her daughters came to her and said, "I like this boy, and I like this boy as well. Why do I have to choose one of them?" And she was like, she couldn't think of a reason other than, well, that's just what you do. To tell her why.
It's hard sometimes to think that the world, as vast as it is really only that one person to love that person. So if I was born in America, would I be with somebody else who I would think was that one person?
Probably.
So yeah, I get that, you know, and it is, but it is about life choices, isn't it? Once you've made that choice and that commitment, you know, it's about seeing that through.
Yes.
It's not about changing tracks halfway through the marriage. You've made that commitment. You've made that commitment to your kids. So, you know, it's just about bettering yourself, and through the good times and the bad times is being the better person and seeing it through.
And that is something about monogamy, which, you know, it does have a monopoly on, that willingness to really be in a less natural situation and make it work. And I get that. I see that. And, you know, when we first became friends and I was married and, you know, obviously on the road and there were girls and I avoided anything because I believed that. I really believed that, you know, by committing to this ideal, it had value, great value. It didn't work out in the long run, but I don't regret that. I don't look back now and go, oh, I wish I'd, you know, slept with any girl that I had the chance to.
Yeah, no. Because that was the person you are. That was the person you are then, you know, to the person you are now. I just think life issues have maybe changed your ideals on life.
I'll be honest with you. I think if I could talk to the person I was then, or if that person could talk to me now and I explained.
You'd say, get your head together, Nigel.
Yeah, I mean, if I said, look, you know, you can be intimate with more than one person and it doesn't have to be casual. You can have deep, meaningful relationships with more than one person. And if you're honest and open about it, people will accept that. If you do it from a position of apology, no. And I've learned that as well when I say, well, look, you know, I've had my heart broken. I've broken a lot of girls' hearts. I don't want to break any more girls' hearts. And that's why I don't want to get in a serious relationship. Well, of course, that's a negative thing. And it's not really how I feel. The truth is, I believe that the potential for love is almost infinite. So why limit yourself? Why limit yourself to only love one person when you can love way more?
Or why can't you just love people? Like, I love you totally. I mean, we've been great friends for a long time. But I am in love with Dean. So why can't you just love everybody like you say?
Right.
Not have sex with everybody.
Right.
And just wait and find that one person that, you know, you could have everything with.
But why? What does that gain versus having sex with more than one person? And having sex with everybody, I don't want to have sex with everybody. I mean, I don't even want to have sex with all the girls I'm attracted to, because physically you just can't do that, you know. I'm just saying having sex with one person shouldn't negate having sex with somebody else necessarily, you know. And the difference, because you said before, well, that's every man's dream, that's what everybody wants, but they don't, because most guys are extremely jealous. They want to have lots of girls, but they don't want any of those girls to be with other guys. Whereas I don't care. To me, this whole worldview is more actually about an evolution of female sexuality than it is male sexuality. Because for 2,000 years now, we've told girls that if you sleep with more than one guy, you're a slut. If you don't want to settle down, there's something wrong with you. And I think that's tragic. Women have 9 times the ability to experience sexual pleasure than men do. 9 times. So why are we always told, well, women don't have the same sex drive that guys do, you know? Why in the Victorian era are we constantly trying to downplay women's sexuality, you know, and keep it under control if at the same time we were saying, well, women don't have a strong libido?
I think that women, for the most part, when they have sex with a guy, it means more than it does for a man when he has sex with a girl. I think they have to be more emotionally involved.
Do you think that's genetic and inherent, or do you think it is what society tells us?
No, I think it means more.
Well, I mean, I guess there is the genetic reality in terms of, you know, if you have sex with somebody, then there's a potential that the woman will get pregnant, and therefore there's a lot more
maybe
invested.
It's a nesting thing, you know, like a life partner type thing.
Right, yeah, that you could potentially see that, absolutely. But if that's the case, then how should that affect how we have relationships? If that's the way we are naturally, where women have sex and form a deeper connection. And I'm not denying that deep connection, but my question is that deep connection necessarily exclusive? And what I mean by that is, if you look at lots of other societies that aren't influenced by Judeo-Christian upbringing, there are plenty of societies that, you know, have polygamy. You know, and if you look at our closest ancestors, or our closest cousins in the primate world, which are bonobos, then they have polyamorous relationships as well. Mm. You know, you look at a lot of tribes, they have polyamorous relationships.
You should have been born in a tribe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, to be honest with you, I feel like I was born at the perfect time. I feel like we're on the verge of a real change. I think that your children and your children's children will live in a world where monogamy is not necessarily the exception, but is one of the options.
Are you saying that because of the changing in times, or like my kids are being brought up in, you know, a family that's mainly my morals? So I don't think that they would.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Your morals aren't against my worldview whatsoever.
No, they're not. But, you know, I won't be saying to them, right, go out and love as many people as you can.
Right.
I want them to live a happy, fulfilled life.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Right.
But I won't be saying to Joseph, for example, if you have a girlfriend, it's okay to have another girlfriend. Because that's not what I believe in.
Okay, but let me ask you this. What if Joseph has a girlfriend and feels a deep, loving sexual attraction to another girl and comes to you and says, look, this is how I feel. I'm attracted to both of these girls deeply, meaningfully. Why can't I be with both of them if I'm honest about it?
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because it's just of the way I've been brought up. If you've got a girlfriend, that's your mm-hmm. girlfriend. If you then attracted to somebody else, the same as I've always said to Dean, if there's somebody else you like, just please have the decency to tell me.
Right.
So, you know, we can either work through it, or if it's not going to be, it's not going to be. And that's right. The advice that I would probably give Joseph. I mean, mm-hmm. he's 12, bless him, and he's had a girlfriend for 2 years.
Right.
He's just at the stage now where he's thinking that he might not want the same girlfriend, but they're just friends and they've sure. always... So I said, well, don't hurt her. Just let
exactly.
it fizzle out. He's only right. 12.
But what if those two girls in that example, for whatever reason, were okay both dating him at the same time? Maybe they had other boyfriends as well.
Where does that end up in our society, though?
Well, it's a question, isn't it? It's an interesting question of... Certainly a lot of conservatives in America would say, well, that's the breakdown of the American family values, et cetera, et cetera, mm. and it will go to pot. I don't think so. I think this notion of trying to go, this is my family, and I keep all these people close, and they can have my stuff, but everybody else, no, we'll keep them over there.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the breakdown of society. That's where the danger is, because all these people who we don't consider our family... Well, they're the ones who are going to affect us when they can't, like, eat or all these different things. I see the world as my family.
Well, what about your family as your family? And then you have your friends, which are your chosen family. It doesn't mean because you're in a marriage that you can't have your friends, or it just means you can't sleep with them.
Right, right. But the question is...
Is that what you want?
And does it matter? Really?
Well, it depends whether it matters to the person you love, doesn't it?
Right, but here's the thing. If you'd have asked me this question 10 to 15 years ago, I'd have gone, yeah, nothing wrong with what you're saying. I agree 100% and good luck to you. You know, I wish I could live a life like that, but I can't because I'm jealous and I don't want the girl that I'm sleeping with to sleep with anybody else. Mm. But now I know that that was born out of jealousy. And jealousy is a perfectly natural human emotion. There's nothing wrong with it. We shouldn't try to avoid jealousy whatsoever. We should understand what jealousy is and act accordingly, not try to avoid it, not say, look, I feel jealous because this girl is with somebody else and now I'm afraid that because of that, they won't love me as much or I'll lose them. Say, okay, this is a natural emotion. I understand why I'm fearful of losing them, but that issue is with me. It's not with them, you know. We could have been having this conversation in the 50s or 60s about homosexuality. Well, I'm just old school. It's how I raised, you know, and if I have a son and he likes guys, well, unfortunately, you know, it's just not going to work. But now, thankfully, we understand that love is limitless in terms of whether you love someone of the same sex or a different sex.
Yeah, but two guys loving each other of the same sex, which is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. What if one of those guys wants to love another guy, but they're in a marriage?
Mm.
So we're not saying that two homosexuals together is wrong, because it certainly isn't.
Right.
But if they've committed themselves to each other.
Sure, if they've committed to each other. And that's the whole question, though. Should people have to commit to each other or not?
I don't think it's a life choice of all the people in the world. It's just an individual choice. And
right.
I think you've chosen differently,
mm-hmm.
because the world or the people in it have changed you.
Potentially. But I see that as a positive change.
Well, that's good that you see it positive. Mm. Because otherwise, like we said before, you know, you're carrying the baggage around. And,
right.
you know, life's too short to carry...
I'm happier.
Other people's baggage.
Listen, like, I attract people now, and I'm not talking about girls necessarily in of itself. Like, people just smile at me all the time because I'm happy, you know? And I'll talk to, you know, an 85-year-old man as much as a, you know, 21-year-old girl. I just love people. I love getting to know them. I love knowing who they are. I love feeling this connection because ultimately I view the world in somewhat of a Buddhist sense that you and I, yes, physically we are different people, but I see the way we're the same. I see we all come from the same thing. We all ultimately end up in the same thing. So this notion of you and I think it's somewhat of an illusion.
Or you're sure you're not following Buddha, as to say, when you look back on your life and if you live to be 80, please God, and you say, well, that was okay. That was quite a journey. Or you live to be 50 and you've slept with as many girls as you like. Wow, that was fantastic.
Right.
Is that maybe what you're looking for?
Listen, I just want to live the most fulfilling and positive life I possibly can. And to me, that means I have to be authentic and I have to be honest with who I am.
But it doesn't mean to say that in 10 years' time, something might happen to you. And
sure.
It might be a different situation.
Absolutely,
again.
100%. But I think my point is that I don't think most people realize there are other options, you know. And when we say, yes, but if you've made that commitment to be with someone for the rest of your life, you should honor that commitment. Most people make that commitment not knowing there are other options. You know, never.
I think
really...
we all know there are other options. It's
really?
Just whether, yeah, of course.
What other options?
Well, you know, you choose to be in that relationship, or you can choose to be single, or you can choose to be in the relationship and just still do what you want. And that way you're just putting yourself first. You're not putting the other person's feelings first.
But I think ultimately you have to... There's that notion that if you don't love yourself and if you're not happy yourself, then you can't make anybody else happy.
Oh, that's a great saying. It's one I've always... Yeah, you have to be happy first to make somebody else happy, 100%.
Right.
And, you know, it may sound selfish, but when you sit and think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Right. And so that's what you're saying. When you're putting yourself first, you're putting yourself first because you have to be happy.
Yeah, you have to be happy.
And so ultimately, I just don't think that most people realize, and certainly I think most girls don't realize that they can be single and sexually active without it having to be necessarily a negative thing.
Yeah, but that's society as well. It's like I said to you before, like Dean had said, oh, when we get Joseph, you know, on the camps and, yeah, it's going to be with all the girls. And I'm like, oh, really? That's my baby. And then when I said, oh, what about Lexi, you know, going to the wrestling shows and seeing all the wrestlers? And he was like, well, that's not going to happen. You know, and this is modern day.
Yeah.
And yet he still has that. Yeah, well, Joseph's allowed to go and do that, but Lexi's little girl.
Yeah, it's a huge double standard. Yeah, and it's going to take a while, I think, for people to really see through the hypocrisy of it.
Mm.
I get it. I get it 100%.
Because if a guy sleeps with loads of girls, he's a stud and he's a player and he's cool with the guys. But if a girl sleeps with loads of guys, then she's labelled completely differently.
Right. And then I want a phone number.
Yeah.
No, look, like I said, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast is because I believe that any discourse about this sort of stuff is beneficial. And the more that human beings talk about these sort of things and who they really are and how they really feel, the world will be a better place.
Yeah, totally. If people were more honest, the world would be a far better place.
Right, right. But, so in actual fact, we kind of do see the world in the same sort of way
I think we do. I said that to you. We do. It's just, you know, this is how you now want to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you've done it through issues of your past, but you've turned it into something so positive that I think that's awesome. Because you could have just carried all that baggage around with you.
Right.
You know, and that would have made you miserable and made you worry more. And now you've kind of lost, I don't know whether it's a maturity, but you've lost the worry inside of you, which as a friend is fantastic to see. Because you've blossomed in your life experiences. Like you said, you wouldn't change them and you don't. Because I think every person that's been important in your life do make up part of your persona now. Yeah. So never regret them.
No.
Each one of them will live as a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you've turned it into such a positive thing that it's, you know, it's fantastic to see.
Fantastic. Oh. Well, for all you people listening that hope that I was finally going to meet someone who's going to change my worldview, didn't happen, but didn't need to happen. We can have different worldviews. We can want different things in the world. And that's perfectly okay. That's what I love about discussion. That's what I really love about the idea of America, is that we come from all these different parts of the world and we may have different religions. We may not want religion at all, but we respect each other's opinion as long as it comes from a healthy, rational place. You know, and that's a wonderful thing. So hopefully I'll be able to come back here soon with my 17 girlfriends. I'm joking.
Your 10 kids.
Yeah, no. Hopefully I'll be able to come back with my kid if I am lucky enough to be a parent and come to Jumpin' Joseph's and where are we in? Netwood?
Neston,
near Liverpool, just across the Mersey, and let my little kid bounce around and have a wonderful time and see you again. And I have no doubt we are going to be great friends for the rest of our lives.
Oh, for sure. Lifelong friends. We've said that for a long time. And when your kid does come into this world, then it's going to be a very, very lucky child.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Sure. Well, God bless. And thank you so much for coming on and being open and honest. And let's go and jump around. So there you go. How two people with differing ideas of what they want can still see eye to eye and remain close friends. Tish has always been a blessing in my life and will continue to be so. Next week's interview, drum roll please, is with Eri, my latest potential parenting partner. As regular listeners will know, we've only known each other for less than a month, but things seem to be moving pretty quickly. This is the first part of the interview, which was actually only the third time we'd hung out. In it, we discuss our potential relationship and her first impressions of me. So what was your intuition? What is your intuition about me?
I have a good intuition about you.
Yeah?
Yes.
How so? Like, what do you think? What are the positives of me as a parenting partner? And obviously, you've only really met me twice at this point. But what are the positives and what do you think are some of the negatives? I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Hello.